You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Welcome to this Cash Talk podcast. With me is Lisa McLeod from 91 in Cape Town. Let's get straight into currencies, please, Lisa, and the mighty Rand. Why has it been so mighty?
Hi, Lindsay. I think if you look year to date and you look at the Rand versus the dollar, we've actually appreciated around about 9% versus the dollar. But if you look actually versus the euro, we've actually done the opposite. We've actually depreciated by around sort of 2.4. They're not necessarily poor performance versus the euro. It's more or less in line with what we would have expected in terms of interest rate differential. So, i.e., it's sort of performed as it should have. But I guess my point is that it's mainly been a story of dollar weakness against the rand that's really driven the rand strength against the dollar this year. On the other hand, I mean, I guess there are some positive factors that have filtered into the currency, despite the dollar weakness. So if you look at the rand against a basket of EM currencies, you've got to take the beta into account. But we have outperformed the last couple of months. We've outperformed emerging market peers by around 2%. And I think there are a couple of reasons for that. I think there are a lot of positive fundamentals for South Africa. We've got a prudent central bank. We've generally been running higher real yields versus our peers. Inflation is under control. The outlook is positive. I think the change in inflation targets also viewed as a positive one. And then valuations in South Africa look attractive relative to SA peers. And I think the last point I just wanted to make is in terms of trade. That's really been quite strong. You know, we've had seen higher export prices, particularly in the precious metal side, and versus sort of lower oil prices on the import side. And that's really been quite a positive factor in driving the rand.
And also the dollar is an incredibly important factor. It's been weak. It's showing signs of strength again. But why was the initial weakness and where do you see it going?
Yes, so if you look at from the start of this year, you know, the weakness from the start of the year has really been a story of U.S. growth underperformance. You know, it's a relative story. So U.S. policy has been undermining growth versus the rest of the world, which was starting to pick up. You know, in terms of policy, it was, you know, tighter fiscal policy, it was tariffs, it was immigration policy. And I think that weakness became part of a broader narrative around the longer term flow. So that secular decline of the dollar, the U.S. exceptionalism, and, you know, I guess investors diversifying away from the U.S. I mean, this is very much obviously a longer term picture. You know, it's a much, much longer sort of time horizon. But if I would say from our perspective, we're actually a little bit more constructive on the dollar in the shorter term. And that's really on the back of sort of a pickup in sort of U.S. growth momentum and then us becoming a little bit more concerned about other areas in growth, such as Eurozone growth, et cetera. But despite a little bit more constructive view on the dollar in the shorter term, we still remain quite constructive on the rand for all of the reasons I've just chatted about.
What about the dollar and the U.S. policy towards interest rates? How does that sort of feed down to South Africa and also, of course, the South African Reserve Bank? And include in that answer, if you would, Lisa, your inflation outlook.
Yeah, I mean, I think firstly, you know, in terms of the Fed, you know, it's quite key in terms of what the Fed will do and how that sort of impacts sort of our SARB. I think the government shutdown has meant, you know, there's been a delay in the release of key economic data. So it's made it a lot more complicated for Fed policymaking and also difficult for us as a, you know, as a market to kind of how do we interpret, how will the Fed react with a lack of data? But in terms of what we're thinking two more cuts for the Fed this year will likely materialize. And, you know, I think next year, perhaps a little bit more has been priced than we would have expected. But in saying that, you know, I think we also have to be careful around the Lisa Cook case is coming up. You know, if we have a very different Fed composition, you know, we could end up with a lot more cuts next year. So we need to watch a lot of these developments. But how does that translate into the SARB? I think a Fed that does cut more will give more room for the SARB to cut going forward. But as long as the rand stays strong and not too volatile, in terms of inflation, you know, we've seen a lot of downside surprises in inflation, particularly in August. You know, that was driven by food prices. And our outlook is benign. You know, we've just actually lowered our forecasts further. So we're looking for 3.3 for this year and 3.7% for next year. So I think it does create a backdrop where we've got, you know, subdued inflation. We've also got inflation expectations coming down lower. It's a positive terms of trade and, a stronger rand. These are all sort of stars that are aligning from a cyclical perspective. And we think that the SARB will cut rates further from here. Timing is a bit uncertain, but, you know, in the absence of a risk event, I think we will, you know, get at least another 25 bips in rate cuts between now and, let's say, sort of the first quarter of next year.
Okay, we've got currencies, we've got international influences, we've got interest rates, inflation. What does all this mean for portfolios? What are the implications, please, Lisa?
I think in an environment where risk assets are not trading well, let's just say that's the risk, I think even in that environment, the short end of the curve will be somewhat protected from, you know, if you have to compare it to the long end of the bond curve, you know. So I think with a view for further rate cuts down the line, we have continued to selectively add duration to the portfolios. You know, we're always mindful that there could be better entry levels, given that there's a fair amount priced into the market, but we've just continued to sort of add duration to the portfolios when we see opportunities.
Lisa, thank you very much for your time. Lisa McLeod is a portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.